I'm Craig Beaumont Flynn. Welcome to Beyond the Design, a show that gives you a peek behind the curtain of the design industry and shares the stories of those that are the driving force behind it. Well, welcome to Beyond the Design. I'm your host, Craig Beaumont Flynn, and today we have with us as our guest, Rosemary Holgarten. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here talking to you.
Well, Rosemary, why don't you go ahead and share your journey from jewelry maker to textile artist and how your background has influenced your work?
Wow. Well, I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
I've always made things, and I started off making jewelry from a very young age. And actually, I was knitting silver wire and incorporating beads and so on. And at the same time, working in advertising, marketing and advertising as I grew older. But I really wanted to, I moved to the US from London. It was over 20 years ago now. And I wanted something a lot more textural and tactile, softer, and also to be able to play with different soft textures more, as well as color, working with different colors and so on and so on. And I found jewelry a little bit limiting with that. So I was talking to my mom and I just trying to brainstorm. And she said, well, you know, those rugs that you've been stepping on and sitting on all those years, I actually made those. Initially, and she told me her story of having moved to Italy and, you know, before I was born, before she met my father. And she was working with different artists and architects, Gio Ponti, Annie Olbers, all of whom were experimenting in different mediums. Right. So she made rugs, kind of worked. This priest helped her set up a studio, and she had trained all these women to make the rugs. And so I said, all right, I'll try that.
Give it a shot.
do a version of it. And she still had her original hooking needle, which actually I have right here.
Oh, wow.
And so I set myself the task of making 6 small rugs myself. And it all grew from there.
Wow. Well, with your mother's story and sharing that with you, how do you shape your approach to design?
You know, I really pick up different influences. I'm not all of my rugs, because that's how I started. Now I'm also known for fabrics as well. Mm. But I love textural contrast. So I love playing with different kind, you know, one color, let's say, but having different textures, whether it's loops or different kinds of yarn, and also, you know, something matte, something a little bit shinier, which often comes down to the kind of yarn and fiber that you're using. So at the beginning, I actually kind of took some of her designs just to practice and get my own methodology.
Right.
But as I, you know, then I started just being more aware and thinking about that and picking up little, you know, cues from a color that might speak to me, whether it's in nature or in fashion, art, you know, the cracks on a pavement or wandering around Europe and seeing beautiful stone formation. Really picking up on all of those things and trying to recreate some of them.
Right, right. Well, your designs celebrate the tactile sensuality of materials. How do you choose and work with different materials in your creations? And where does that come from? What inspires you to do that?
Well, when I started making rugs, I started working in wool, which was great. But then I was given the opportunity to go to Peru. Someone knew I was interested in rugs. And at that time I was still making rugs, and I had a studio of 3 people working in the US, but I went to Peru and with this small alpaca sample, and I just fell in love with Peru and its incredibly rich textile history, going back to the Incas, as well as the alpaca fiber, which is so soft and mm-hmm. so tactile. And so, you know, once I really discovered Peru, I very much focused a lot of what I did on the alpaca fiber. Now, over the last 20 years, I've grown and I incorporate silk and natural plant fibers, cashmere, mohair, you know, lots, as well as wool, lots of different kinds of fibers, because they all do different things in a rug or in a textile. But the core of what I do is still rooted in alpaca fiber from Peru.
What are some of the varied inspirations behind your collection of rugs, fabrics, and accessories? The design, where's the design come from?
Really, all kinds of different things. And I don't set out to collect, you know, do one collection, say, you know, this is a collection based on Japan, or this is a collection based on, a set of colors. I really, over the years, I gathered different little pieces of information. You know, as I said, it could be art, it could be fashion, it could be an architectural detail. And mm-hmm. I was in Brazil, and just the contrast, some of the really modern buildings there, the contrast of different metal and stone that they use. I might try and then recreate that, but in much more tactile fibers. Or I was, you know, in Spain and having a delicious meal, and at the end of it, it's like, oh wow, there's a pattern on the plate that I found really inspiring. So really from all kinds of different little kind of clues from the world around us.
So being an artisan, and you take inspiration from every aspect of your life, do you carry around a notebook and start sketching, or you just kind of lock it away in your brain and
yes, no, definitely
start designing?
Definitely a notebook and an iPhone. So I'll take the photos, and then I'll kind of, when I come back normally, or while I'm kind of on the plane or something, then I'll take it and do the sketches from there. And then I do kind of real life, you know, what we call strike offs for a rug. Just sort of do a little sketch and send it to the mill and say, let's try and recreate something like this.
Well, you talked about your love for Peru. Can you talk about your collaborations with artisans in indigenous cultures like Peru, Brazil, and Nepal?
Yes. Yeah, so, I love to work in Brazil, and we do some rugs there, and I've worked in Nepal for a very long time. The main, and you know, everything there is made by hand. The main connection that I have directly with the artisans is in Peru. I've been visiting Peru twice a year, more or less, for 20 years. And over those years have worked with a growing number of artisans. So you have a set of artisans who are working on the rugs, another set who are working on the fabric, another group who dye the yarn, you know, because I really start all my, well, not all of it, but a lot of my new developments start from the yarn or a fiber that I find really interesting. And I was just in Peru, actually, I just got back Monday.
Wow.
so I hadn't been there for a little over a year. So yes, just going around and visiting everyone and talking to them about some, you know, specific developments, as well as really just connecting with them. And when I started, I really wanted to do something new and something different, and nobody was, making working in Peru to the extent that I was, and or working directly with the artisans.
Well, we talked about how you're inspired. Talk about the process. I mean, when you do see something and you sketch or take an image and start creating it from that perspective, what is your process from initial concept to finished product?
Well, it often surprises clients when they want to do something custom, and it can be a year-long process. So I will have a sketch, I will have a photo, just a snap of something that inspired me, as I said, maybe a plate or a stone on a wall. So I'll do a little sketch, and I'll have figured out what colors I want to do that in, based on the colors that I have, or potentially develop a new color. And then for a rug, we'll send the design over, and then the mill will make a rug, make a small, a small sample that there's almost like a rug sketch. And then a similar thing for fabric, sometimes, because there's intricate weaving, it's a little bit more complicated to sketch the design, but we'll talk through different, I'll talk about the different yarns that I want to use, and the colors, and then we'll do a, we'll develop a small sample of that.
What do you enjoy most about the collaborative nature of working with clients?
I think obviously I really like to just do my designs for myself and put them out in the world, but it's really always exciting to work with an interior designer who, they're so creative in their own right. And sometimes it's just a fun project, and we want to do something really new and interesting, and they'll challenge me to do that. Or there's some sort of design solution that we're trying to get to. So I spend a lot of time designing on my own. So it's always fun to actually have the opportunity to brainstorm a bit and come up with different ideas.
Is there a particular project you can think of that you worked and collaborated on with a client?
Yes, actually, there's a good friend and client of mine, Sergio Mercado, who I've known a long time, and he had a really nice project in Palm Beach, and wanted to use a number of different rugs, and it was very open plan, so we used my Lennox rug, which has a lot of smaller shapes in one room, and then in the living room area. And then we wanted to echo that design, but have it feel slightly differently. So we did another rug of mine called Shard, which is sort of similar to that. So it ties into it, but it's sort of the scale is changed. So that everything worked together. And then we did the same thing upstairs in the bedrooms, using the same materials, but just varying the design a little bit so that it all worked together.
What are some of the current trends in textiles and interior design that you find most exciting? I mean, it's ever evolving,
yes.
I would say, consistently all the time.
Well, I try not to follow trends. I try to just, go on my own path. But I feel like there is a lot more openness now to kind of doing more of, and anything goes, but in a good way, sort of allowing more creativity, a little less bland, monotone, mixing it up. And there's definitely a lot more embracing of texture. I've never done prints, I've never done printed linens or anything like that, and obviously I've been doing boucle white boucle for a long time, and now I've moved on to that to all kinds of different boucles with color. But I think that there's a lot more in art, the sort of really high end residential environments, a lot more openness to color, and mixing different textures, having one fabric on the front of the sofa, another on the back. So I love that, and I'm excited by that. And I'm even kind of finding myself doing a little bit more pattern.
Do you like to challenge yourself? Do you like challenges in designing, creating? Yeah.
I think that's what keeps us going and keeps us coming up with new things, mm-hmm. and new ideas.
When you started this journey of creativity and craftsmanship in textiles, how do you see the role of handcrafted textiles evolving in the modern design landscape? How has it changed from when you started to today, and where is it going?
I think it's actually increased. I think people, you know, in terms of what I do out of the U.S., I think the appreciation for it has increased. And I think with the industry is starting to talk more about makers and the importance of makers, and as more and more things are copied, it's almost considered normal and okay to, I think people who really are deeply involved in the industry really appreciate originality and authenticity, and craft and the makers and the real artisans, I think, speak to that.
True. What challenges and opportunities do you see for the sustainable design in the textile industry?
Well, there are a lot. I think for me, first of all, I think in the US we have to embrace it as a goal for the industry, and I'm not sure that that has happened. I think, right. You know, Europe in general is a lot more advanced. Really, all around the world is a lot more advanced.
A little bit more progressive, right?
Yes, than the US. And I think it's still seen as a nice to have, but not really as a goal. So I try and do my part. I wish there was a lot more opportunity for, I feel like reuse and the ability to reuse things, mm-hmm. within our industry, within all the contacts we all have is a really big opportunity. You know, for fabric company like myself, we have fabric that sometimes gets discontinued. We're very behind in terms of finding great ways to share that and reuse it. All the alpaca fibers that I use are very much sustainable. And I think we have to be realistic. I mean, and sustainability also has a double-edged sword, you know, like electric cars, it's giving with one hand and taking with another. So we have to be aware of that. But I'd like to see everyone make it a little bit more of a goal in some way. And even if I tell my team, just do one thing a day that for yourself personally to feel more sustainable. Like, you know, when I get my coffee, I take my own mug. And I think if we can take even little steps mm-hmm. within the industry, then it can help.
Makes a difference. Baby steps make mm-hmm. help.
Yeah.
That's how we got in the moon.
Exactly.
Well, what upcoming projects are most exciting about that's coming up for you? What are you really working on and really excite you?
I've already got four launches in September, and that's all done. I'm working on my spring collection. I was just in Peru working on some new developments, new rug and fabric developments there. So that's always really exciting. I definitely would like to expand some product categories, you know, looking at wallpaper. I want to design a chair, but I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. But yes, I mean, I think just keeping on developing the collections and trying to expand and build on what I've started.
Being a creative visionary, what motivates you?
Just the need to create. I mean, I love to make things, and I miss the days when I was making things by hand myself. But as I said, going out to Peru, for example, playing around with the yarns, from that first point of coming up with an idea, and then, you know, sometimes you'll come up with all these ideas. You'll see the samples. Some of them will work, some of them won't. But when you that aha moment, when you know you have that feeling that yes, this is what I need to do. That's what I love to do most.
So when you started your business, did you have a set goal or a milestone you want to hit? And where are you continuing to grow, and where do you want to be in 5 to 10 years?
I just wanted to be the only very vague. I just knew that I wanted to have my own business. I knew that I wanted to, I needed to be able to make money from it. So it needed to be a business. and I wanted to do something where I could be creating things and I could come up with ideas and see them to execution and put things out into the world. So that was all I never had a business plan. For the first few years, I supported myself that, you know, building this business by working in advertising, and grew very organically and have been lucky enough that people seem to like the things that I put out there. And in terms of going forward, you know, I do want to keep on growing. Operations is always a bit of the hardest thing to deal with. And the bigger you get, you find yourself as a creative person spending a lot more time on the business of having a business. I'd like to keep on getting stronger operationally to allow me to really focus on more creative things,
getting your hands dirty,
exactly and getting my own loom set up, and time to do that would be a goal. Future goal.
What legacy do you hope to leave through your work in textiles and design?
I think really one of something, you know, that people feel good with when they have my products in their home. Mm-hmm. I think people tell me that it makes them feel good. You know, they feel luxurious, but they're also comfortable. I really believe that a lot of that comes from the, I guess, authenticity of my vision, but also the fact that so much of it is made by hand, mm-hmm. by real artisans, and that translates to the world. And so what I have created, created in Peru, working with all the artisans, giving, you know, work to a lot of people there in Nepal and Brazil. Obviously, that I use mills in Italy as well for my outdoor fabric. Mm. So feeling, for me, it's being being part of the world, and feeling, you know, everything full circle.
Correct. What has been some of the most rewarding moments of your career so far?
Well, when a couple of years ago, I had the Peruvian government come to New York and my showroom and invite me to a special dinner to thank me with other, you know, different chefs and so on who had contributed to the economy and the people of Peru. So that was obviously felt really wonderful. Opening my showroom in New York during COVID in 2020.
And that's a challenge.
Yes, and not having to have that close and have that be such a success and a real brand statement for me, that people from all over the US and the world can come and have a feeling of the whole environment. Mm-hmm. And people, when they come into the showroom, they want to stay. You know, the clients, designers will bring their clients, they'll get comfortable. It's a comfortable, inviting environment. So I love that.
Can you share a personal story or experience that significantly impacted your career in design philosophy? And the question I have to that also, was it when your mother told you of her background or something else?
I mean, it really has to be that. I had no, you know, I really didn't know anything about it. And my mother always, grew up for a while in Beirut. My mother was an archaeologist there. She was a jeweler, and then living in London, I was very aware of craft and art. But the moment that she described the rugs, I had no idea that I was going to take to it or love it. You know, I had absolutely no idea. But yes, I mean, that is, I'd say, the most significant thing that really impacted the rest of my life. But also discovering Peru. Mm-hmm. Landing there and just feeling this real connection with it and what I've been able to build there.
Well, you mentioned one thing you'd like to do is design a chair. Is there anything else on your wish list that you had more time to incorporate or do creatively on your own?
Some chair, sofa, some furniture, but that really incorporates fabric. You know, so that obviously the design of it would, from my perspective, would be a vehicle to show off fabric. I'd love to make some more one-off things, you know, some really spectacular one-off rugs, one-off throws, you know, to make more statement pieces and just really be able to push myself creatively. Wallpaper feels, I mean, behind me, there's my ombre fabric, which we made into a headboard and also a frame, but I would love to, it also is wonderful as wallpaper. So I would definitely like to explore that and just continue to work with more artisanal communities. I've always said one of my dreams is to, I love felt as well. I'd like to do more work in felt, and I'd love to go to Mongolia and see how they make their yurts.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely. It takes you to a different level where you actually are able to touch and see it and see the artisans working in hand.
Yes.
With the product and the materials. Has there been a time, as you look back on your career, that was the pivotal moment? You're like, okay, this is, I did it.
I think after I'd been in business 10 years.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, they say the first 5 years, you just have to keep on. If you get through the first 5 years, you're probably okay. The first 10 years. I think when we turned over our first million, that obviously felt very significant. That was a little while ago. So there've been a number of different moments, but I think when I stopped knowing what every single order was every day was good.
Has there been a creation that you step back, just like, oh wow, I am an artist?
I mean, I hope that the majority of the things. I guess one of my favorites was I did a I went to the Alexander McQueen exhibit, punk exhibit. I think it was at the, I don't remember if I saw it at the Tate Modern or in New York, mm-hmm. but there was an amazing retrospective a while ago. And then coming out of that, I did a punk rock rug that had zips, and literally okay. had zips that zipped and unzipped, and safety pins. And that was really fun. And my goal was to make one kind of statement piece rug mm-hmm. like that a year, but you know, business got in the way, but it's that's another goal.
Work got in the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what's next for Rosemary Hallgarten?
Continuing to grow, continuing to develop, probably challenge myself a little bit. As I said, I'm kind of thinking about doing a little bit more decorative, mm-hmm. less, you know, still very much based in texture, and to book my ticket to Mongolia.
There you go. Now, if you were able to step back and tell your younger self about your journey thus far, what would you tell yourself that you were surprised that you learned?
That you don't, you know, and I think you always have to go through these lessons, right, in order to grow and learn them for yourself. But that you really don't need to and shouldn't offer too much choice. You know, some choice is good, but you don't need to be everything to everyone. And then the other thing is just, you know, the paramount importance of relationships, because in the end, it's all about the relationships that you build.
That is true. Do you have any word of advice for anyone that's wanting or inspired about your craft and getting into the textile industry?
Just do something you're passionate about. You know, don't make it about the end goal. You know, just make it. It's got to be about the journey, and you've got to enjoy the journey and the process. And just focus on, if you're lucky enough to have a passion, and I not everyone does. So I feel very lucky and grateful that I have a passion that drives me. And if you have that, just go with it, and the rest will work itself out.
Now, you've been to a lot of great places, Mongolia coming up. Is there anywhere else that you'd like to travel to see the craftsmanship and their quality of work that you have not been able to yet?
I'd love to go to Africa and work. I actually sort of worked a little bit with someone who's producing amazing things out of natural fibers in Uganda. So I would really like to go to more artisanal communities and work with them, local traditions, their fibers, and help them into, you know, with the design aspect of it and the color aspect of it, similar to what I did in Peru, to bring their skills to a larger audience. And Japan, everyone that I know is going to Japan this year, has been to Japan. So, you know, I definitely, that's top of my list and to go to.
Great. Well, Rosemary, it's been a pleasure to have you on our show, and thank you for your time today, and much continued success to you.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you.
You too. You take care, and we'll chat soon.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Beyond the Design. Subscribe for more inspiring conversations to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media for updates and behind-the-scenes content. See you next time.
Hi, you're listening to a Pod for Good Media Network podcast. We are a network that provides podcasting production services and a supportive community in which podcasters can thrive. If you're a podcaster local in the Tulsa area, we would love to have your show on the network. If you are interested in starting one, we would love to help you get started. Find us online at podforgoodmedia.com and fill out our Pod With Us form. Happy podcasting!